Southwest reports its third straight loss. Hawker Beechcraft deliveries plummet. And the feds are funding high-speed rail. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 17, 2009. Southwest Airlines yesterday reported a first quarter 2009 net loss of $91 million, its third straight quarterly loss, and the first time in almost 18 years the carrier hasn't been able to juggle the numbers to show at least a small profit. That loss works out to 12 cents per diluted share, compared to a net income of $34 million or 5 cents positive per share in last year's first quarter. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly commented, quote, "We face the toughest revenue environment in our history. Although competitively strong and financially resilient, we are not immune to the challenges the worldwide recession is having on air travel," unquote. Southwest also officially announced to employees yesterday it will reduce its workforce in coming months through a system-wide voluntary early out program. The airline has also frozen hiring and capped executive pay raises indefinitely. Hawker Beechcraft yesterday reported first quarter net sales of $537 million. That's down almost $39 million from a year ago. Business and general aviation aircraft deliveries totaled 57 during the quarter. That's down from 72 a year ago. HBC recorded an operating loss of $41.2 million, compared to a loss of $1.5 million for the same period in 2008. Despite the increased operating loss, after-tax income was $66.9 million, compared to a net after-tax loss of $31.3 million for the same period in 2008. HBC says it faces no immediate crisis. You can get more details on both these stories in text form at aero-news.net. U.S. domestic airlines haven't really had to worry much about competition from railroads for decades, but President Obama is making high-speed rail a priority. Standing with Vice President Joe Biden and Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, the president yesterday announced a new push for intercity high-speed rail to reduce dependence on cars and planes and to spur economic development. The plan is to use $8 billion in stimulus funds and another $1 billion a year for 5 years from the general budget. The Federal Railroad Administration will begin awarding the first round of grants by late summer. The report issued yesterday formalizes 10 potential high-speed rail corridors for federal funding in regions of high population density. The president commented, quote, "High-speed rail is long overdue, and this plan lets American travelers know that they're not doomed to a future of long lines at the airports or jammed cars on the highways," unquote. It's been a big week for product announcements for Avidyne. The resurgent avionics company announced yesterday its new Integra Release 9 integrated flight deck will be available as a retrofit for Integra-equipped Piper PA-46 Meridian, Mirage, and Matrix aircraft. We'll hear much more about what's happening at Avidyne from the company's Tom Harper next week on Tuesday and Wednesday in the Aero News special feature. And Integra won't be the only choice for Meridian buyers. Garmin announced yesterday it has certified the G1000 for the PA-46-500TP. Initial deliveries are expected to begin immediately, and Garmin's synthetic vision technology will be standard equipment. Up next on ANN, are those new full-body scanners TSA porn? How do you bail out of a King Air at 23,000 feet? And corks are popping at Sun Country Airlines. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Utah freshman Congressman Jason Chaffetz says his first ever bill will be to block the Transportation Security Administration from replacing old-school airport metal detectors with full-body imaging scanners. In statements to local media, Chaffetz has called the images displayed by the machines TSA porn. As for TSA claims the machines don't reveal private anatomical details, Chaffetz says agents have told him they can tell how much change is in a passenger's pockets and see individual beads of sweat. Quote, if you have that kind of specificity, you can see everything, unquote. He also expressed concern for the effect of the technology on the screeners. Quote, I don't think we should be subjecting TSA employees to sitting around looking at naked bodies all day. There's got to be a point where you say, we've gone too far, unquote. Canadian investigators are faced with trying to determine how a reportedly distressed passenger forced open the door of a chartered Beechcraft 200 King Air at 23,000 feet over a remote area of the Northwest Territories, then leapt to his death. CBC News cited a source with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in reporting the flight had departed the capital city of Yellowknife and was headed northeast to Cambridge Bay in western Nunavut. An air search is reportedly underway for the remains of the unidentified 20-year-old man. The incident followed an emergency radio call from the plane's crew, reporting an unruly passenger, but Mounties waiting to arrest the man after the plane landed at Cambridge Bay were told of the bizarre turn of events. Wes Aldridge, an experienced King Air pilot who was interviewed by CBC News, said opening the cabin door when the plane is pressurized would require both a huge force and the failure of four large steel pins that secure the door in flight. Check back for updates at aero-news.net. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reported yesterday that domestic and international passenger traffic in January was down 10.9% compared to a year earlier on the 19 U.S. airlines reporting. The average load factor was 73%. You can get more details on the stats released yesterday in text form on our website. If you're looking for a job turning a troubled corporation around, you want your resume to look like Stan Gaedick's. In his first year on the job, the CEO of Sun Country Airlines has held his team and creditors together through a seasonal downturn, followed by a worldwide recession, the bankruptcy of parent company Petters Group Worldwide, and a 20-count federal indictment against its CEO, Tom Petters, and employee concessions and pay deferrals. Gaedick noted during those dark days that if the Minnesota-based specialty airline could make it through the fall of 2008, it was positioned for a surge in seasonal business from snowbirds who love the company's great service. A year ago, Sun Country reported a first-quarter loss of $8.3 million. Yesterday, the Q1 2009 report was a record $8.1 million in net income. Costs are down, load factors are up, and the last catch-up installment of deferred employee pay will be made next week. Gaedick commented, quote, I'm very proud of the hard work and determination of every person on the Sun Country team. They deserve full credit for these outstanding results and having overcome significant challenges during the past year, unquote. Still ahead, setting the record straight about Air America. King Schools revises its icing operations course, and United requires overweight passengers to buy a second seat. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 17th. I'm Paul Platt. The University of Texas at Dallas is hosting a symposium this weekend to mark receipt of 10,000 formerly classified Central Intelligence Agency documents dealing with Air America. That airline, which was operated as a civilian service in Asia following World War II, was also a front for covert CIA operations in the region. Former naval aviator Don Becker, now a 71-year-old retired rear admiral, will speak at the university tomorrow night. He plans to recall his rescue after bailing out of a stricken plane over dense jungle in Laos in July of 1965. He says he evaded armed enemy soldiers through the night and finally escaped, hanging terrified from the skid of an Air America helicopter. The civilians rescued him because the military couldn't be caught operating in Laos. Becker tells the Associated Press the work of Air America's civilian pilots and crews has gone unappreciated. Quote, most people don't even know it occurred. It was a secret society. They flew in all sorts of danger, flying every day in terrible wartime conditions. They did a beautiful job, unquote. The documents released to the university by the CIA came through a Freedom of Information Act request filed by the school. They reportedly include firsthand accounts of Air America missions, commendations, and even the evacuation of the American embassy after Saigon fell in 1975. Brian Johnson is a former Air America helicopter pilot who says the public misunderstandings about the company are gradually being turned around. He says the 1990 movie Air America, starring Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr., painted a picture of corruption and drug running. He adds the liberal Air America talk radio network added to the confusion. UT Dallas is getting more than the documents and participation in its symposium. The school has been chosen by the Air America alumni group as the site for a plaque listing about 240 names of fallen fellow employees, Vietnam Wall style. You can find out more at www.utdallas.edu/AirAmerica. Usually, flying an airplane is a pretty straightforward operation, but King Schools notes flying in icing conditions seems to hold surprising pitfalls for pilots. Co-chairman John King observes, quote, "First, there is the remarkable fact that the recovery from a tailplane stall induced by icing requires a completely opposite technique from recovering from a wing stall," unquote. His wife and co-chair Martha King adds, quote, "Every pilot knows that recovering from a wing stall requires applying forward stick to lower the nose and reduce the angle of attack of the wing. On the other hand, recovering from an icing-induced tailplane stall is completely counterintuitive. It requires applying aft stick pressure," unquote. If this is news to you, you may want to investigate the revised King Schools course on icing operations. It's available online at www.kingschoolsonline.com. ANN's Jim Campbell gets more background from John King in today's Aero News special feature. NASA is preparing the Space Shuttle Endeavour for its long, slow crawl from the Vehicle Assembly Building to Launch Pad 39B, scheduled for this Friday. It takes about 7 hours to make that four-mile trip. Endeavour would be called on to fly a rescue mission if anything went wrong during Atlantis's May flight to upgrade the Hubble Space Telescope. Hubble is in an orbit higher than the International Space Station, and, unlike the station, has no quarters to protect the crew if there's a problem with the shuttle. After Atlantis is cleared to land following its mission, Endeavour will move to Launch Pad 39A in late May for the upcoming STS-127 mission to the International Space Station. Finally, if you're too big to fit into a single seat, can't put the armrest down when you get there, or need more than one belt extender to buckle up, expect travel to cost you more on United Airlines. United's website says the policy will require obese passengers to purchase an extra seat, and if no empty seat is available, they'll be bumped onto a later flight. Quote, "The seat purchase or upgrade must be completed for each leg of the itinerary. If a customer meeting any of the above listed criteria decides not to upgrade or purchase a ticket for an additional seat, he or she will not be permitted to board the flight," unquote. United's website says passengers in that situation who decide not to fly will get a refund, and if they choose to buy the extra seat, it'll be sold at the original ticket price, even if the walk-up fare is higher. The new policy was reportedly started on Wednesday, retroactive to tickets bought on or after March 4th. While the change is bringing United some unwelcome publicity, it's only fair to note that most of its competitors already have similar policies. Not surprisingly, the new fine print is not easy to find on United's website. We'll provide an FMI link directly to the new policy in the data block which accompanies this Aerocast. You know, maybe this high-speed rail deal isn't such a bad idea after all. I wonder what the seats will be like on the trains. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with John King of King Schools about the revised online icing operations course. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.